Blog Talk Radio.
The Clown Times, rather than the Clown Hour Show, brought to you by the Clown Times, as you say. And you can find me on the web, first of all, at www.theclowntimes.net. That's clown with a K. And you can find us on Facebook. Just do a Google search for the Clown Times, and you'll be able to find us here. But first of all, I'm bringing back the NFL podcast Superfan Series. Last time I left off, I believe I was talking Chicago Bears football. I'm probably wrong on that, but at any rate, I took a break from that for a little while because a lot of things going on, like the NBA playoffs, the finals, and the free agency. That was the quote-unquote the white mare with Dwight Howard. But at any rate, now that training camps have started, first of all, thank you God that the NFL training camps are at least here that August is rolling around. I'm going to bring this back in. We're going to be talking Saints tonight with my man, Tyrone Miller. He's a big Saints fan. We're going to talk about the 2013 Saints football season. We're going to preview it. So, first of all, Tyrone Miller, welcome to the Clown Hour. I'm sorry. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no worries, man. And this should be cool because I've been wanting to do this for a little while with you. I have to, you know, we both had to find the time. But guessing that since this is the start of training camps around the NFL, you know, there's no time like the present. So, first of all, before we get into, you know, the Saints 2013 season and whatnot, and your love for Roger Goodell, tongue and playing it with cheek, just tell the listeners where you're from and how long you've been a Saints fan.
Well, I'm from Louisiana, come from a place called New Iberia, Louisiana, which is about two and a half hours from New Orleans. Pretty much been a Saints fan all my life. And, you know, I always tell the story that I was watching football one day and actually was watching and I saw the Dallas Cowboys on. And, of course, being a little kid, I was about 4 or 5 years old, I saw that star. I was like, man, you know, that might be pretty cool. So I started cheering for him. Then my dad took me inside, and, like, everybody looked at me and was like, son, we don't do that in this house. So
there you go.
So, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I've been a Saints fan pretty much all my life.
And, you know, I have a similar story about why I hate the Cowboys to this day. You know, my father's a Redskins fan. And, back when I was maybe 7, 8 years old in the early 1980s, and I was watching I think it was the Redskins and Cowboys, actually, during the Joe Theismann era and the Danny White era, too, in Dallas. And it was at Dallas because I remember seeing those cheerleaders. And I never heard my dad cuss before unless I really made him mad. Exactly. Oh, you got to remember the cheerleaders now, but that's 8 years old. But anyway, you know, I never heard my dad cuss. I never even heard him use a euphemism. But except for one of those times when my brother and I would do something really stupid to piss him off. But I heard a mother start muttering things under his breath and just get so agitated when he saw the Cowboys make some big plays against the Skins, to the point I'm like, I must be supposed to hate this team. I'm really supposed to hate this team in white. And plus, you know, little boys weren't into girls at the time too. So, you know, I start with the cheerleaders, even though I didn't learn to appreciate them obviously at 7, 8 years old, that, you know, I thought it was a little over the top. So a couple of that with my dad's like bad mood at the team and at the time in the white and silver and blue with the blue helmet, with the blue stars on the helmet. I thought then I was supposed to hate that team, and I've been hating them ever since. Going on 33 years of hatred, pure Cowboys hatred. But
oh, yeah.
I feel you on that. I feel your dad on that, too. So it's like the scripture in the Bible, you know, train a child up.
Most definitely.
Such. Exactly. So and plus, you have two sons, right? So you can train them, too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well,
train
my wife
too.
Is a Titans fan, and, you know, I don't really care for the Titans. If you have, you know, they're irrelevant to me most of the time, so it's really Saints or nothing. so, yeah.
now I'm going to ask you, I should ask you. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Mr. Cottrell.
Oh, yeah, I was saying that, you know, it's either Saints or nothing, you know, because that's
right.
Part of the reason why I don't play fantasy football, because I'd have all Saints players, so you know I definitely would lose. So you know, and I know that, so I don't sign up for it.
You know what? You know that's actually a good point. That's a very good point. Nothing's more painful than having to start like a member of the Cowboys or the Browns to win a week and pull for the players to do well. That's painful.
Nah,
that's especially painful for me.
Oh yeah, that's sacrilege. You can't do that.
Yeah, exactly. That's like going to Beelzebub or something. But now, do your sons have a choice to pull the pool for, like a favorite team?
You know, I don't put a lot of pressure on them. You know, my whole family basically are Saints fans, with the exception of, I mean, my wife doesn't really care. You know, she just likes the Titans probably because of the popularity down here. But but really, I mean, my sons at this point could care less about football, but they know I'm a big Saints fan, so they tolerate me.
Well, I'll say this, man. You know, I have a rule. I'm not going to force my son to like the Steelers, but I do have one rule. Actually, it's two. As long as he doesn't like the Cleveland Browns nor the Dallas Cowboys, I would not have failed him as a father. I would even accept the Baltimore Ravens, as long as they're not those ugly-ass Browns and those and that. I don't want to say the name of the team, but a team from North Texas. As long as there's none of those two teams, then I'm cool. I'm actually real cool with what he likes. So there you have it. Speaking of teams, I would ask you what went right or wrong with last year's team, but given that the Saints are stuck behind the eight ball thanks to the boy Roger Goodell, I think that was set to fail from the beginning. But give your take on what went right and wrong in your eyes, and feel free to take all the time you want.
Well, man, where do you start? You know, after all of that Bounty Gate stuff came out, it was the worst. One of the worst days I've ever experienced as Saints fan. You know, if you know anything about the Saints, you know, there's some pretty bad days out there, you know. So I can think of that.
Sure.
You know, I can think of the what we call the, I don't know what the exact term, but the year we played Jacksonville and came up with the most improbable play to put us in position to tie the game. And, you know, here we are. We miss the extra point of all things.
I remember that.
So, you know,
Dude, I still remember that.
Away from the playoffs. So, you know, you know, we had our share of what we call buzzet luck with this team.
Right.
And, you know, we live and die with the Saints. And so, you know, after having that little success that we had over the last few years, when Roger Goodell came down with basically the death sentence on the team.
Right.
You know,
right.
We were really, really, as a state, and even just a region, if you were a Saints fan, you hated Roger Goodell. And and hate is probably a mild term, because
I'm about to say, it doesn't
really,
even begin to cover the other half.
Oh, man, you talk about just, oh, man, we even were taking bets, like, dang, how in the world is Roger Goodell going to even go down there for a Super Bowl? Because there is no way we're going to let him get out of there alive. Because,
right,
you know,
right.
we had a good team. And, you know, we were coming off of a real good season. And, you know, for him to come and lay the hammer down like that on us, it was, in our opinion, it was unjustified, you know.
Right.
And I'm really kind of pissed off because the rest of the league didn't understand what we were going through. You know, they were real happy.
Right.
And I can still remember those, you know, Falcon fans and, you know, all those other NFC South fans were like, well, you know, they shouldn't have done that. You know, they, and I'm like, you know, I was about to cuss as much as I cussed after that decision.
Right.
But,
right.
But, you know, this is a family show. And, well, this
well, you know,
say,
you can actually, this is a podcast. You can say whatever the hell you want. So. You got the green light.
Well, you know, that stuff, you know, that went down like that, hearing all those fans basically gloating at the fact
right.
that they got a free pass, you know, just kind of rubbed us all the wrong way. And, you know, so we kind of took that it's us against the world mentality, you know. For a while, I wasn't even really going to purchase anything NFL related because as far as I was concerned, I was protesting. So, you know, I didn't want to have nothing to do with the NFL because I just figured the whole thing was tainted from the beginning. And and it was all the conspiracy. You know, we had a lot of fans back home that said, you know, that Goodell didn't want, you know, the home team hosting the Super Bowl. So thought that was a conspiracy. And so that's part of the reason why he laid the hammer on us, you know, and I don't know. But I do know that it was heavy-handed, it was unprecedented, and it was really, there was no justification for it. You know, you're talking about a league that basically had the Patriots dead to rights on cheating.
I was thinking the same thing, dude.
So, you know, they just destroyed the evidence and said, hey, you know, we're going to fine you a little bit of money and take away one draft pick, which didn't even hurt them because they had two. And it was back to business as usual. So, and I think really, you know, now that I say that, I think that was part of the thing that really frustrated the fans even more was not, you know, penalizing the team by, you know, taking away our head coach and suspending the players and all of that. That was, you know, we didn't agree with that, and we hated that decision. But really, and we're still feeling these effects, really what hurt us the worst was taking those draft picks. And you're talking about taking, you know, second-round draft picks, which are usually considered, you know, almost like a first-rounder.
And
so
you're
basically
a third-round pick too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they basically tried to destroy us. And they did a pretty good job of it. You know, we managed to be a 7-17. What was it? 8-8 team last year, in spite of all of that. You know, but, you know, we tried our best, but really we couldn't overcome, you know, the loss of the head coach and, you know, and our team leaders being, you know, under the gun all the time, having to answer questions and all of that. It was just a big distraction and just messed the whole team up. So, you know, they tried to rally, but you could tell it was just too much. So
this is a hot mess.
So yeah, you know.
Well, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I was going to just utter some words of empathy in terms of as far as Roger Goodell is concerned. What frustrates me is that about Roger Goodell, I mean, you know, I'm a Steelers fan. I mean, so basically, I mean, you already knew that, but basically when he fined the entire defense, right, for those for those hits, you know, it pretty much made us our defenders targets for refs.
Yeah.
I remember last year in the game, and I'm not going to steer it to the Steelers podcast, but I'll just say this. Just the point where when Ryan Clark levels, like gave Victor Cruz against the Giants last year, a shot, a forearm shiver to the chest. Okay, hit his chest. They flagged him a 15-yard penalty. a personal foul, and the next play, the Giants scored a touchdown. And even though the Giants lost the game to us, the point being is that all Roger Goodell's heavy-handedness made the players targets. You know, James Harrison a target, Troy Polamalu a target, you know, the heavy hitters on the defense. And going back to what you said about the Patriots, that really, really pissed me off. I mean, it's bad enough that we both don't like the Patriots, but the fact that they Roger Goodell destroyed the evidence and just slapped him on the damn wrist with a $250K penalty. I mean, that's chump change. I mean, of course they're going to pay $250K. I mean, even though they find Bill Belichick $250K, but you know that he never had to pay that. You know that Bob Kraft broke him off or something to help him pay it, if not pay the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they only lost the lower draft pick. Because to your point, they had two draft picks. They kept the higher pick, but they only lost the 25th or some odd low first-round pick. And I just thought the inconsistency was just atrocious. I thought that the fact that Roger Goodell, it was so bad. The penalties consensus were so bad without any significant evidence that an arbitrator allowed John the Vilma company to come back later in the season. But by that time, it was too late. You guys were like 8 games again or something like that. I forgot. So
we had lost, what, 3 or 4 games right off the bat.
Right.
I mean, we lost to Kansas City. That's like,
I remember that.
we had a lot of commentators and everything and prognosticators basically saying, hey man, the Saints got a good chance to be 3-1 or 4-1 and all of that. And they were counting those games that we were losing.
Right.
So
yeah.
So, you know, we knew we were in for a long season when we lost to Kansas City.
Well,
I mean,
when
they were garbage.
Right. I mean, I remember seeing you guys lose the Redskins opening game. And I know I had a clue how good RG3 would be, but I thought it was, like, unsaints-like to come out flat against a team that on paper y'all should have dominated at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I attributed that to, and I'm sure you do as well, because you already mentioned it, at least alluded to it, the fact that Roger Goodell took you guys out at the knees to begin the season, and basically you guys were behind the eight ball the entire season. It would have shocked me if you guys finished over 500. And that's not speaking to the talent level. It's just speaking to the fact that you guys are hamstrung from the jump.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the biggest challenge that I have with this whole Bountygate situation is the hypocrisy in relation to everything, because if you look at it, almost every team has some type of bounty system. Admitted it. And you can't tell me that Greg Williams decided to implement this for the first time with the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
You know,
right.
He did it, and the Titans player said there was one there. Redskins player said there was one there. The Bills player said there was one there. So, you know, you're talking about a successful coach. He's not going to just automatically come up with, oh, you know what? I think we should pay players for performance, you know, for knocking folks out. No, this is how he had been the whole time. And we actually had players coming out from these other teams saying it, but then – you know, they would do a quote-unquote investigation and find out, well, there was nothing there. So, you know,
that's
here we are having to pay the brunt of everything. And that's why we were not surprised when the lights went off in the Superdome during the Super Bowl. Because I'm just saying, you know.
That's funny.
People were like, man, this is great.
I think that was actual New Orleans voodoo coming back to haunt Roger Goodell.
I don't put it past somebody just walking by and was like, just yanked the card out or something.
Yeah.
But it was. Because I know if it had been me and I knew I wouldn't get caught, I would have done it too. So,
yeah. So, like, let's pull the plug out, right? And don't get a light bill.
Yeah, you know.
There you go.
But
going to collections.
But it's all good. You know, we survived. Mm-hmm. You know, we still were a little bit better because we lost. We didn't have our second round pick this year. And really, you know, when you talk about penalizing a team, not only you're penalizing us, but you're giving everybody else a chance at a player that wouldn't even been on the board. So you're rewarding the other teams. And, you know, all of our the NFC South teams that were not the Atlanta Falcons, we all were 7-9. Mm. So
that's right.
We're all picking the same. We're in a row. So they're picking the player we would have got.
Yeah.
Freaking joke. And,
you know,
y'all know y'all shouldn't have been cheating. What bag on it?
Oh, shut the hell up. That's why I told people, just shut up, dude. That's just ridiculous.
So,
everybody has a balance system. Every rivalry game, Baltimore v. Pittsburgh, all those big-time rivalry games, they got bounties. Everyone knows they got bounties out. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
I mean, they took, you know, the 49ers took Pierre Thomas out of the game in that NFC, I don't know, I don't think it was a championship game. I think it was a game right before that. But they took him out. You know, they knocked him out, and basically, from our perspective, it was a head-to-head, you know, hit. And it should have been illegal. And, you know, granted, it was close play, and we didn't complain about it. But, I mean, they were headhunting in that game. And you know, they managed, and all of that intimidation and everything, you know, went in their favor. And you can't tell me the way that they take pride in their defense, they're not talking about knocking somebody, knocking them out when they get back to the locker room. You know, they're talking about, hey, you know, we took so-and-so out. And that's probably you know, worthy of some type of compensation.
Yeah. I mean, I think bounties go back to as far as the 70s, at least. I mean, back when football was crazy. Back when it was crazy. I mean, to put Roger Goodell to put on this dog and pony show about player safety just to cover his own ass and the concussion cases that's coming out of the woodwork. I mean, this is called for what it is. He's covering his ass. I mean, he's being disingenuous at best. And I just want to see him fail. But I got one quick New Orleans story for you. When talking about Roger Goodell and I did Welcome New Orleans, we went there for my wife and I and my sister-in-law and her husband went there for New Year's this past year, and we actually left a day before Louisville was supposed to play Florida, but we were in town when the Saints hosted the Panthers the last week of the season. But it's just hilarious. I mean, you go through Bourbon Street, you have signs that says, with Roger Goodell's picture on it, that said, "Please do not serve this man." You had it on there with several restaurants. I took a picture of one. You had several restaurants that had this. That's not his picture. That said, "Do not serve this man." And I got another funny thing. When we were at the tailgate, like the Saints, I mean, first of all, Saints fans tailgate light and all that. I mean, you guys had a band out there, you know, doing their thing, jamming. I mean, even in the down season, you guys found a way to have a good time, which we thought was a pretty damn cool thing. But when we were walking towards the tailgate area, alongside the Superdome, you know, that I guess the one the drop off areas, there was a humongous effigy / voodoo doll of Roger Goodell. It had Roger Goodell's picture on their head and big oversized like plastic or foam nail stuck in his chest. I couldn't help but laugh, hanging an effigy over the side of the rails in the Superdome. It was just too funny. He's probably gonna be number one there, obviously. And
probably we ain't forget him yet.
And you should.
Yeah.
He screwed your season.
Yeah.
So kind of thinking of, but speaking of which, like for 2013, now that's over and done with, what do you guys think you need to do to get back to your rightful place in the playoffs?
Well, really, right now, we need stability. You know, and I think that that's why the team is, you know, probably a little cautiously optimistic. Of course, every team at this point of the year is, you know, talking about how well their rookies are doing and their undrafted free agents and, you know, how good, you know, the players that show some promise are looking. So everybody's, you know, in that mode where, you know, they're optimistic about the season. But I think, you know, our team has really just kind of breathed a sigh of relief, you know, now that things are back to normal. You know, Sean Payton is back. Some of the guys that were injured were able to get healthy during this offseason. And we really could just have a normal offseason. You know, we had a pretty decent draft. You know, we're really just, you know, trying to bring back a sense of normalcy and optimism about the season where we can actually concentrate on football and not, you know, look at news stories about, you know, how evil our team is because we, quote-unquote, had some pay-for-performance bounty system or whatever. So, you know, really, you know, we're really optimistic about this year. And really, I think it's going to be a tough year because I think everybody else in the NFC South got better. And that's just, you know, it's going to really be hard to come out of that division just because of the rivalries that are involved. And even last year, really, even if it had been completely healthy, it still would have been a battle between us and Atlanta. You know, we may have beaten Tampa Bay in, you know, one of that the game that they beat us, and maybe we would have gotten a couple other victories and finished maybe like 10-6 instead of 7-9. But really, you know, everybody else, like I said, in NFC South has gotten better. And so it might not necessarily show in our record when it's all said and done. But we're hoping that perhaps we'll contend for a playoff spot and, you know, try to see if we can stay healthy because that's really our biggest issue. We don't have unlike some teams, you know, we don't have a lot of depth at some of the key positions. You know, if Drew Brees goes down, you know, you can pretty much pencil us in for less than 8-8. You know, and that's the same thing with, like, Jimmy Graham. You know, Jimmy Graham and Kirk for an extended period of time, you know, we're going to be, you know, we'll basically be an average offense. So we don't have anybody that can replace him. And on defense, you know, that's really with our Achilles heel last year. You know, we were historically bad. you know, we were actually kind of optimistic about Steve Spagnuolo, you know, coming in and doing something. But and actually, I thought he was going to survive the offseason, but Sean Payton must have saw something different and told that joker to hit the road.
Whenever
so now we got Rex
ranked,
Ryan coming in.
That should be funny. But whenever you're ranked, your defense is ranked 31st overall against the pass and 32nd against the rush, and was so historically bad in points given up. You know, that's when, you know, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, I mean, God bless him, he was a great defensive coach in Philadelphia. I think the St. Louis years kind of tainted him. and it brought that to New Orleans, and they never had a chance. And you feel bad with people losing a job, but, yeah, he had to go.
Well, the biggest thing, you know, and this is with any NFL team, it's hard for you to change systems in one year and
That's
be
true.
Successful. And so, you know, he basically was inherited a team that was an aggressive, take no prisoners team. You know, we're going to win and lose by gambling. You know, we lost when we sent everybody after Alex Smith and he threw it over the top to Vernon Davis in that playoff game. You know,
I remember that.
You know, and when everybody in New Louisiana, and that was a Saints fan, was screaming, why in the freaking world are we blitzing when they got to go 60, 70 yards. They had
right.
less than a minute. So, you know, we were really actually talk about wanting to hang the Dell. Shoot, Greg Williams was next on that list. Especially,
right.
we basically said the Jokers lost the game for us. You know, we just play
yep.
average defense. They run out of time. But he's sending everybody, and we lose. But be that as it may, the team was designed to take chances. They weren't designed to
yep.
straight up man-on-man stop everybody. And so
mm-hmm.
when Spagnuolo came in and tried to take these guys and make them more of a read and react, you know, scheme kind of team or defense, it didn't work. And
right.
and there probably was some internal things too. You know, some guys were probably loyal to Greg Williams, and you know, maybe they didn't have Sean Payton there to really kind of rein them in and tell them, you know, you need to, you know, stick with the system. So, you know, it was just an odd year, and that was just the worst time to try to bring in somebody who basically was a head coach. Coming in and to a team that didn't have a head coach, which is
mm-hmm. right.
weird. So it never felt right. And so,
yeah, there's no leadership at the top, yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know. You know, we're going to this 3-4 defense this year. You know, it's possible that our personnel might fit this defense a little bit better because a lot of our guys are undersized. We were trying
mm-hmm.
to convert, you know, make them defensive ends and things like that. And, you know, they might have just been better in this type of defense, a 3-4 attacking
right.
defense, you know. So
mm-hmm.
it'll be interesting to see because Rob Ryan is supposed to come from that same Buddy Ryan school. That, you know, that's the same type of defense that we won a Super Bowl with. So,
yeah,
these guys so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've been embracing it. And,
yeah.
You know, I think they're probably, by default, sure, they'll be better than they were last year. I think they
right. I mean, you can't get any worse on defense.
Nah, you can't get any worse. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, teams were just chunking it up there, and they were coming down with it.
Right. Exactly. I mean, that Kansas City loss, that can't happen again. That probably would not happen
yeah.
again. You know, I'll say this.
Yeah.
You know, when you guys won the Super Bowl, you know, you guys did it the way you guys done it the three previous years prior to last year. Taking chances.
Mm-hmm.
You guys led the league in takeaways. You guys led the league in returns to touchdowns, like fumbles, intercepts, especially with Darren Sharper. And
yeah.
remember that, you know, the Super Bowl against the Colts was sealed by what? A pick six. Where
yep.
the young cornerback, I think Tracy Porter is his name,
yep.
he took chances and jumped the route. And yeah, exactly, just took it back to the house. That's what sealed it for y'all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you guys got to me, thriving off that crowd noise in the Superdome and thriving off of the gambling, of the Riverboat gamblers that pretty much helped deliver your title.
Yeah.
You gotta get back to it. I think Rob Ryan's crazy ass is the guy to at least get the ball rolling with that. He should mesh well. His personality should mesh well with Sean Payton. Both love the Campbell. Both do not do it by the book. And seeing that. How much the players feed off of Sean Payton's personality. There's no doubt in my mind that you guys will be better on defense with Rob Ryan in the house because you got another badass running the show on defense.
Yeah.
It's like you have a badass running the show on offense and Payton. Speaking of defense,
yeah.
do you guys still have Will Smith?
Yeah, he's still on the team. Yeah, they
okay.
converted him to outside linebacker.
Oh, he should thrive on that because he's a natural pass rusher. Oh.
Yeah.
So
yeah, he lost some weight this
yeah.
year. He's, you know, he's down
oh, wow.
about 250, 260, I believe. You know,
wow.
when he was a defensive end, he was up to about 275 or so. So he
right.
lost some weight, you know, to be able to play that position. And from what I understand, he actually played outside linebacker at Ohio State.
Is that right?
You know, so it might not be as much of a jump. Of course, he's been defensive end, you know, pretty much his whole career with the Saints. But really, if you look at his measurables, he's only about 6'2", 6'3". And, you know, they just made him put on that, all of that weight and everything to be able to handle that position. But really, he probably is more of a natural outside linebacker.
I think he's more like
a Paul Kruger, you know. Don't have a whole lot of mobility, but, you know, stout and can provide some pass rush, make the guy work on the other side.
I think that also that, speaking of Paul Kruger, like his ex-teammate Terrell Suggs, I think that, because Terrell Suggs was an outside linebacker at Arizona State, if I'm not mistaken. And played some defensive end, but he was a hybrid, more of a hybrid. And he's a hybrid now with the Ravens, and he's a badass at that. So I think Will Smith, being that he's a natural outside linebacker, I think that will fit him well. See, I did not know that. So then again, you know, that's Rick Rob Ryan playing the strengths of the defensive personnel, which will probably should do wonders for them.
Well,
now,
you know, and the thing about the thing about our defense that's going to be kind of interesting is that we have a lot of interchangeable guys, you know, guys that can play two positions, you know, and probably play them decently. You know, they probably won't be stars at either, but they can play them.
Right.
And so from a scheme standpoint, it'll be, you know, just give offenses and things something different to think about, you know. But yeah, you know, we have people like Will Smith who can play a couple of positions, Cameron Jordan, who will be moving around the line, also Akeem Hicks, guy we drafted last year. He's going to be, you know, splitting time between that nose and defensive end. So, you know, we have a lot of versatile guys that's going to be able to do a lot of different things. And hopefully we'll find some people who are special, because that's really the biggest thing that we're lacking on defense. You know, we don't have the equivalent of a Drew Brees or a Jimmy Graham on defense. We have a lot of good guys, decent guys, maybe, but we don't have a star. We don't have somebody that you have to double team or account for every single play. And so that's really, you know, that's really the challenge. You know, people say, well, it's the pass rush, and that's true. But when you have somebody like DeMarcus Ware that even hurt, you have to double that joker. You know, we don't have that, you know. And so we always talk, me and my brother-in-law, we always talk about how the Saints pass rush basically plays pitty-pat with the offensive line. They can't get off block. You know, unless it's a blitz. So maybe it's having them standing up and moving around or whatever, or take advantage of their lack of ability when it comes to getting off a block. But that's major, because, you know, you sit there and fight with the offensive lineman for 5-6 seconds, the quarterback on the other team, no matter how bad he is, gonna find an open guy. So,
if you give any quarterback time,
Yeah. So that's why we make all these bad quarterbacks look good. That's why RG3 looked as good as he did. Matt Castle looking like an all-pro. The joker not even with Kansas City no more, man. But we gave him at least a shot at staying by his performance against us. So, yeah.
That's
wild, man. But like I said, you know, that's what all the Saints fans are really looking at this year. You know, we think our offense will still be within range of how good we've been the last few years. But our defense, you know, we really would be ecstatic if we can get somewhere in the teens in terms of total defense. Of course, we know we got your boy, Kenan Lewis.
I know.
At one of the corners now. which was a big surprise for a lot of us because we didn't even know we were targeting him as fans.
Paid him a lot of money, too.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how he works out for us. So far in camp, the reviews have been good. You know, I think one of the knocks on him was that when the ball comes to him, he doesn't always make the play by intercepting the ball.
Right.
And I think he's had a couple of interceptions in camp so far. So, you know, we'll see what happens with him. But at least we have a relatively young guy that's a big guy and a physical guy that can, you know, take one of those corner spots, especially against the Roddy Whites
right.
and the Julio Joneses of the
world. Julio Jones, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know,
yeah,
you can't have
guys.
Those midgets playing. Yeah, you can't have midgets playing corner no more, man. You know,
those days are
back
long
in the day, you
gone.
Might be able to get. Yeah, you know, receivers back in the day were slow. You know,
yeah.
They were like, and if they were tall, they were gangly. They couldn't really move. They're pretty much straight line.
The possession receiver.
So, yeah.
The possession receiver.
Now, you know, you got the Julio Jones, 4.3 speed, 6.3 and better in some cases. You know, that can out-muscle you, out-jump you, and everything. So you need somebody that's going to be able to match up. And so, you know, we've been trying to move to some bigger corners. You know, we have this other guy out of Samford, Corey White,
okay.
who they are kind of excited about. And we also have Patrick Robinson, who's kind of been up and down for us. So, you know, it should be... We should be better, you know. I think we'll at least have enough smoke and mirrors to get us through the first half of the season.
How do you feel about Kenneth Okawa out of Texas?
Honestly, man, when I was watching the draft, when I heard his name come out of Roger Goodell's mouth, I cussed. You talk about cuss.
That bad, huh?
I mean, everything I could think of. I was like, I cannot freaking believe this. Kenny freaking Vaccaro. Especially, you know, because. And the thing about it was, you know, there was a little buzz about him and everything. You know, I wasn't knocking him too much. I just look at the history of the first round and safeties. You know,
yeah.
For every Earl Thomas, there's a Michael Huff, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, actually, there's probably like three or four Michael Huffs for every Earl Thomas. So you can get a good safety later. And who's to say Kenny Vaccaro might not even gone in the teens. You know, there was buzz, but, you know, a lot of times those safety positions, middle linebacker positions and stuff like that get devalued. So they end up getting pushed to later rounds. Case in point,
right.
Eric Reed, who went to the 49ers, he fell into the second round. This joker was a playmaker at LSU. I was like, shoot, I would have been ecstatic to have him. But here we are drafting a safety, you know. The thing that really pissed the Saints fans off, at least me, was Jarvis Jones was right there. God, that pissed
you
me off.
You let him go to the Steelers.
Best pass rusher. Yes. I'm like, now, the Steelers are basically – a historic franchise. They have, I don't know how many Super Bowls. They are great talent evaluators. And that tells you something. If the Steelers go out, in spite of all those quote-unquote neck problems and Lumpstino, whatever spine problems he had, they went and picked him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's telling me they know what they're doing. And it's a no-brainer.
Yep.
You have no pass rush. You pick the best pass rusher.
Right, not a damn safety.
So, you know, that's why I cuss about Kenny Vaccaro. They don't have nothing to do with his playing, you know, his talent or his potential. It just has to do with you have a need and you have a dude who can feel that need right off the top. And you passed on him for a safety. We have two starting safeties. They ain't great, but we have two starting safeties. We don't need another safety. You just gave Roman Harper an extension last year. And now you go out and waste some money on a dude who's going to be a rotational player. So, so anyway, so I was pissed.
I guess, I mean,
but
I
got over it.
Well, I guess you guys panicked with the bad defensive performance last year. I still would have waited. And I like the Jenkins pick from Georgia in the third round. Defensive tackle, I think he'll help you guys a lot. John Jenkins. So that's that. So
I think he was going to do pretty good. I think our players are going to do pretty good. Even Vaccaro, he's had a lot of great reviews so far, too. So I think we actually had a decent draft.
Now, leading into the season, we already covered the draft and our mutual hatred for Roger Goodell, but looking at the schedule for this coming season, I got it in front of me. I don't know if you've memorized yours yet. How do you, just from first blush, how do you think your boys will do this year? I'll give you my opinion after you give me your assessment.
I think when you're analyzing the Saints, you have to. You can't really look at and say, "Hey, this team had this record last year, so they should beat them."
Right.
I actually would almost go in the opposite. That's a straight-up wild card pick because we are the team. If you know anything about the history of our franchise, if you're struggling, we're gonna help you out. We're gonna give you a victory. So, you know, I remember sitting in the stands when we played the Cincinnati Bengals back when they were the freaking Bungles. And they hadn't won a game in I don't know how long. And all their fans were like, "Man, I guess we're going to lose today." I was like, "Y'all don't know the Saints." I was like, y'all been how many games y'all lost in a row? I was like, "Oh, y'all got a shot." And sure enough, Peter Pinball Warwick bounces off like 7 or 8 defenders and scores like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown. And that was the beginning of the end for us. So we lost. So having said that, I don't really look at teams and say, you know, this is what the Saints record is going to be. I just go on feel, you know, because we're going to beat somebody we ain't supposed to beat. And we're going to lose to somebody we ain't supposed to lose.
You have no value.
So I don't know what the combination is going to be, but, you know, I think everything really is going to hinge on that first Atlanta game. You know, we open up with them at home,
right?
The arch rival. How we do against them is probably going to be a real good predictor about how we're going to do for the season. But off the top, I would say we probably are about a 10-6 team.
That's a good that's a good assessment. That's a good assessment.
And you know, we can probably go one game either way. You know, 9-7, 11-5. It's gonna be hard to be get more than that. Because of the teams that we're playing. You know, you're playing Atlanta. You probably, the best you can say is you're going to split with them. That's the best you can hope for. We might even, now we've had Atlanta's number for the last few years. Sean Payton has anyway.
Guys really well against them. Right.
So, you know, but, you know, their offense is one that can keep up with us. So you got to figure we're going to split.
Right.
You know, when you play Tampa Bay, another team that plays tough, they're going to have a real tough defense. It's going to be hard to score on them, I think. Plus, they have a running game, so they can shorten the game up on you. It really going to kind of depend on how Josh Freeman is playing. We can sweep them, or we can go 1-1 against them. Carolina, I don't know what the heck we're going to do against them.
They had your number, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Carolina is a tough team because they got that, you know, when you got Cam Newton, that's a equalizer. So
yes.
He can either be bad, and we, but or he can either be all world and win the game by himself. So, but
yeah.
Just on field, it's about 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we'd be ecstatic. You know, I think really most important, we just need to make the playoffs. You know, whatever
right.
gets us in the playoffs. It's fine. We might end up just beating up on each other in that
uh-huh.
NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as we get to the playoffs, I think we're good.
I think you guys are going to be a playoff team. Not only that, I think you guys are going to be, even though not on this level, but kind of like the Patriots or Spygate. Hear me out for a minute on that. Remember when they, after even after the commissioner slapped him on the wrist, and that's the penalty by 200K
yeah.
and a draft pick and nothing much. They felt shame. They felt they were called cheaters. I still call them cheaters. But they,
yeah.
you know, Bill Belichick
they
cheating company, they were cheaters, right. They did cheat. But the fact of the matter was, even though they were slapped on the wrist, remember how they took it out on the rest of the league when
yeah.
dude ran up the score on almost everybody? In
yeah.
the regular season, like when I remember when he ran up the score on Buffalo, and he has no beef with Buffalo, but he ran up the score on Buffalo
yeah.
one time, ran up the score
yeah.
against Miami the other time, and there was a couple other instances where he just ran up the score, didn't give a damn. He's like, you guys want to
yeah.
do me like this? And which leads me to Sean Payton. Sean Payton really doesn't give a damn. He really,
yeah.
really does his own thing, and he...
Mm-hmm.
He already took chances as it was, but I think he's going to do what he's going to pull a Belichick and just start running to scoring everybody. He I think he's
yeah.
going to just thumb his nose that Roger Goodell. I think he's going to give him the proverbial finger during each week of the season by doing that, by showing up the rest of the coaching staff, I mean, the opposing coaches as much as he can, especially if he's winning. And,
yeah.
And I think 10-6 may be a bit conservative. So
yeah.
I'm going to look at y'all's schedule. Yeah, I'm going to go by week by week, right quick. We'll try to run through it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you guys will obviously open up with Atlanta at home. I think that's going to be a win for you guys because I think you guys have an underrated rivalry with them
yeah.
that doesn't get talked about near as much as it should, given the history of the two franchises. I mean, you guys came into the league almost at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think that's still, you know, you guys were the original Southern teams of the NFL. And I think spending a lot of time in Atlanta and New Orleans and being around both fan bases, there's a lot of hate. There's a whole lot of
oh,
hate
yeah.
between y'all two fan bases. So that's,
yeah.
that's a
the
very underrated
the
robbery.
The fail clowns?
Yeah.
That's what we call them, the
fail clowns. Got to remember that. the fail clowns. Oh, my God. And I'll share this one
yeah.
quick story record before I go to the rest of the schedule. Like, I was at a fraternity picnic last month sometime. And mind you, these are my frat brothers of mine. So,
uh-huh.
you have one guy, you know, great granted, you know, the D.C. area is a very transit area. So, you have one guy who's from Atlanta. And another bruh who's from New Orleans. And so the guy,
mm-hmm.
they ain't even met each other. He saw the guy, you know, he saw the bruh with the Florida lace, right, around his neck. And then
uh-huh.
he just looked at him and he said, you ain't from where I think you are. You pull for a certain team, do you? He said, Saints, man. And he said, because he had a Falcons, the other guy had a Falcons hat on. And
uh-huh.
they're bros, right? But they were going at it, trash talk. And they never met each other before in their lives before that day. They're saying, well, you guys in the last fans saying, well, you guys came to us when you guys had Katrina. You know, so it was getting that deep.
Mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
so
well,
it's,
you know,
it's a deep
this
problem.
Is my thing with, this is my thing with Falcon fans. First of all,
mm-hmm.
they're annoying. You know, and they get on my freaking nerves. And the reason why... it's because there's some
uh-huh.
fair weather fans, man. I
that's
mean,
true. Oh,
you know,
true.
If you basically look at any Saints fan, you know,
mm-hmm.
we'll lose a draw. We would win bags on our head. We were Saints fans. I mean, we ain't never wavered. I mean, we had a guy who was a real famous commentator called Buddy D. And Buddy D he was just, you know, if the Saints were doing good, hey, he praised them. If they were doing bad, he was all over them. And that's how the Saints fans are. You know, we'll criticize the team. We ain't got no problem with that. You know, we homers, but we ain't that much of them. We're realists. So, you know, when you hear a Saints fan talk about the team, they're taking into account the history of the team. You know, they're looking at it from all different points of reference, and they try to be realistic in their account. Now, granted, you may get a joker who's a little drunk, you know, that might be like, we're going all the way, you know, we're going to finish 16-0, you know, or something like that. But for the most part, you talk to the average Saints fans, they're knowledgeable, and they're realistic about the team. You talk to a Falcons fan, they barely know the team exists until they win it. And then all of a sudden they come out of the woodworks. Oh, man, I'm a Falcons fan. What about when you joke before Matt Ryan came there? It wasn't going to. We had more Saints fans in that stadium than Falcons fans. And so
I don't have
no respect for them. You know, if you're going to be a fan the whole time. You know, don't come up in here, oh, yeah, we 13-3, And then you kick it on a team while they're down after you read them basically giving you a couple of one victory, and y'all should have beat us. I'm sorry, that's not trash talking against the Falcons fans, but I'm just saying, you know, they're an underachieving team. They win a few games every now and then. Everybody start getting on their bandwagon and on their tips. And for the most part, they disappoint the fan base. And they're, like I said, they're fair weather. So, you know, hey, if they go and they're 13-3 again this year, they'll be coming out of Woodburg. But let them jokers go 8-8 or less than that. Man, that stadium going to be half empty. So anyway, that's my diatribe.
That's funny.
On the Falcons.
No, that's okay. I got 5 more minutes, so I'm gonna run through the schedule if I quit for you. Of course, after the Atlanta game, you're in Tampa. I think that's gonna be a win. You guys host Arizona. That's gonna be a win. You guys host Miami Monday night. That should be a win. You guys go on the road the next 2 weeks at Chicago and at New England. New England's gonna
beat the Bears.
Yeah, I think you should beat the Bears too. So you got the bye week. You host in Buffalo, that's a win. You have the New York Jets. Who knows if Sanchez would still be in town or Rex Ryan would still have a job. That'd probably be a win. I mean, the environment is not too cold, but still New York is pretty offensively challenged. Then it gets interesting. You guys host Dallas and San Francisco, go to Atlanta and go to Seattle, and then host Carolina for 6 straight weeks. Well, then that 5-week stretch. That's going to be telling. That's going to be a make or break point for y'all season, I think, because you guys got a lot of good teams and a team with the Panthers that gives you guys trouble. Then, I think you guys will make it out there on a 3-2 split, in my opinion.
We owe the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
We owe the Cowboys, so I think we got that.
Right. Well, I got 90 seconds, my man. So.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, I was going to say I got 90 seconds, but yeah, I think San Fran, I think Dallas, and and being at Atlanta is going to hurt y'all. But you guys wrap up the season at St. Louis, at Carolina, and Tampa Bay. I'm thinking 11-5. I'm thinking 11-5 all the way. 10-6 at the minimum. 10-6 at the minimum. But I got 30 seconds. I got 30 seconds. So sorry about that, man. Just running out of time. We had a lot of fun. But thanks a lot, Tyrone, and good luck to your safety season, my man.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right, peace out. That's Tyrone Miller, Saints fan. Anyway, I'm running out of time. And once again, thank you very much for tuning in to the Clown Hour. This is Scott Burks. And once again, until next time.